Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the plan of salvation that you had in mind right from the beginning. Thank you, Jesus, that you went through with it and died that horrible death so that we could live forever with you in that beautiful place you call home, we call heaven. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 2 Corinthians 10, verse 15 to 18. Message. We're not barging in on the rightful work of others, interfering with their ministries, demanding a place in the sun with them. What we're hoping for is that as your lives grow in faith, you'll play a part within our expanding work, and we'll all still be within the limits God sets as we proclaim the message in countries beyond Corinth. But we have no intention of moving in on what others have done and taking credit for it. If you want to claim credit, claim it for God. What you say about yourself means nothing in God's work. It's what God says about you that makes the difference. So here, it's not like they're trying to do anything exclusive or on their own. It's just that they don't want to bulldoze into any other people's areas of ministry. They don't want to do any so-called sheep stealing. And they want to make a difference, especially in a place where God's word hasn't reached yet. Now we know God's word does not return void, and therefore they were expecting things to happen, and they were expecting lives to be changed by the word of God that they were preaching to these people, that they were teaching these people. This is why they were confident of growth in the community. Now this desire to not tread on other preachers' toes or not offend any other Christian workers in the area boils down to a very simple philosophy. And you'll find it in Romans 12, verse 18, NKJV. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And so whatever other workers were in the area, they did not want to offend them or block them or tread on their toes or muscle in on their action. They just wanted to do what God assigned them to do, which was to reach out to the lost and hurting in the areas that God assigned for them at that time. This thought of living in peace is echoed in Hebrews 12 verse 14, NKJV. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. So peace and holiness are essential in God's kingdom. The holiness we get from the blood of Jesus, that is what makes us holy. We have no holiness of our own. Our self-righteousness is like filthy rags. That's in the Bible. That's in Isaiah 64 verse 6. But we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So we, human beings, are like a leaf, and our iniquities, that is our sins, is like the wind, which is more powerful than us. There's nothing we can do about it. There's no way we can say, oh no, we're not getting blown away. If the leaf is lying on the ground and the wind blows, the leaf gets moved by the wind, like it or not. So it just emphasizes the fact that we can do nothing to get to heaven. We can do nothing to earn our salvation. We have to trust in Jesus and believe in him. It says so in John 1 verse 12 to 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's why we are called a child of God. There's a song that says, I am a child of God. Yes, I am. And this is where that comes from. Back to the idea of peace. It's also in Colossians 3 verse 15 in KJV. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So there, our thankfulness is a job requirement, and we do need to be thankful at all times. I'm not going to go those scriptures again. I've done them many times before in Thessalonians. But the peace of God rules in our hearts. This is why we live at peace with other people as far as we are able. Now there's something else in our scripture which is referred to as taking credit in Message translation. Others speak of boasting or commending and praising, and this thought is touched on in Galatians 6 verse 14 to 16, TPT. May my only boast be found in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him I have been crucified to this natural realm, and the natural realm is dead to me and no longer dominates my life. Whether a man is circumcised or uncircumcised is meaningless to me. What really matters is the transforming power of this new creation life. and all those who live in agreement with this standard will have true peace and God's delight, for they are the Israel of God. So we take up our crosses daily and crucify our flesh, and in this way the natural realm is dead to us, and it no longer dominates our lives. This is because we are being led by the Spirit of God, not by natural circumstances. So physical circumcision or uncircumcision is not the issue. What is the issue is circumcision of the heart, and this is what makes you a true believer in God, true child of God, and that's where you get true peace and God's delight. And calling them the Israel of God means we are part of God's family now. Remember, the Israeli nation was considered the chosen people of God in the Old Testament, those who grew up with the Old Covenant. Now in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, every child of God is part of God's family. Moving on from peace to love, in 1 John 4 verse 18 in NKJV, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now what is fear? The definition of that is an unpleasant emotion caused by the threat of danger, pain or harm. That I looked up online. In the same place I found fear archaic. That means in the olden days, an old use of the word fear was a mixed feeling of dread and reverence. And what is dread? Again, an archaic meaning from the olden days. To regard with great awe or reverence. Now the kind of fear that we do not want is the unpleasant kind. That's the kind that the enemy uses and utilizes to very good effect to make people do what he wants them to do. Like, you know, when there's a hold up at gunpoint, it's because people are afraid of dying. So that kind of fear the devil uses in terrorist attacks, it uses in bullying, and it uses in a lot of what goes on in our everyday lives. But the kind of fear of God that we want to talk about is the feeling of dread and reverence, where dread is great awe or reverence. In Matthew 10, verse 28, it says, "And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And the scripture in Matthew 10 is echoed in Luke 12, verse 5. And again, this is not a fear that is scared or frightened. It is that deep reverential awe that we realize that God is powerful and he has the right to throw us in hell. But because of his great love and because of the redeeming work on Calvary that Jesus did for us on the cross, we no longer have to face that. And he does not want anyone to perish. That's in Matthew 18:14. "Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Remember, hell was not designed for humans, it was designed for the devil and the demons. And God does not want a single human being to go into hell. He wants everyone to spend eternity with him in heaven. But because of his great love, he wants us to love him back. He wants us to choose to respond to his love. And that's why he's given us free will. And that's why we need to choose to love him back. And a whole lot of scriptures refer to the fear of the Lord as a good thing. Proverbs 1 verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 2 verse 5, "Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." Proverbs 15:16, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." Proverbs 9:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Proverbs 14:27, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death." And so we can see that the reverential respect and awe of God is a good thing. It is the fountain of life. It is the beginning of wisdom. It is instruction. It is a way to find the knowledge of God. And so when we look on our Creator, our loving Heavenly Father, with that reverence, with that awe, with that respect, then we learn from His Word, then we learn His true nature, His true love, His true justice, Because yes, he is a loving God, but he is also a just God. He cannot look on sin. And this is why the only way to get into his presence is through the sacrifice of Jesus. Because that paid the price for our sin, for our wrongdoings, for our little white lies, for our dishonesty, for our rebellion, for our stealing, for our taking something that isn't really ours. You know, all those little things. Some person might say, I haven't done anything really bad, but every little thing that is not perfect, that is not in line with God's plan and purpose for each and one of our lives, is missing the mark. And missing the mark is sin. So, thankfully, with such a high standard that we cannot possibly meet, Jesus Christ met that high standard for us on our behalf and paid the price for our inability to meet that standard. And then he gave us the free ticket to get where we could not go on our own steam. Speaking of the fountain of life, in Isaiah 40 verse 31, it says, But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And under the New Covenant, it's in Philippians 4 verse 13, Amplified. I can do all things which he has called me to do. Through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with inner strength and confident peace. Speaking of confidence, the fear of the Lord comes up again in Proverbs 14 verse 26. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have a place of refuge. So he is our hiding place, he is our strong tower. And again in Proverbs 8 verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So pride, evil, arrogance and a perverse mouth are all things we want to steer clear of. The respect for God, our Father, is the opposite, is to hate evil. Another one is Isaiah 33 verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. So there's a saying that goes, home is where the heart is. And basically your heart is where your treasure is. And this reverence for God is our treasure. And God treasures our respect and reverence and awe. Another one is Psalm 111 verse 10, Amplified. So the reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning, the prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. A good understanding and a teachable heart are possessed by all those who do the will of the Lord. His praise endures forever. You'll find references to that in Job 28:28, Proverbs 1:7, Matthew 22:37 and 38, and Revelations 14 verse 7. The final word on the fear of the Lord is Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. So it is quite clear to see that respecting God, treating him with awe and reverence, is the best thing you can do. And it leads to understanding, it leads to wisdom, it leads to life and satisfaction. And avoiding evil. Even in the Our Father prayer, Jesus said, deliver us from evil. And so, treating God with respect and reverence and awe, that is one good way to do it. And while you're doing it, shine your light.